45th chapter, I don't know of anyone I admire more in the Old Testament than Joseph. And in Genesis 45 and verse number 5, it says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves," this is Joseph talking to his brothers, "that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Verse number 7 says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And then chapter 50 and verse number 20. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Why? "To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Sometimes we don't understand why things happen in our lives, but there is a purpose to everything that happens in our lives. If you're in the kingdom of God, nothing happens by accident. It is by divine direction. Glory to God, if we're willing to follow his direction. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word this morning. We have been enjoying your presence in this place, God. Nothing is like it. Nothing is more important or more valuable. We ask you to bless the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, so many people in here. As God directed me this week to this scripture, I began to see how Joseph's life was a shadow and type of what we have been going through over the last several weeks. Joseph was separated from his family and confined to a prison for literally years, and he didn't even understand, "Why am I in prison? You see, I've been living for God. I've been doing everything that my father said I should do, and now I find myself not only a slave, but now in prison all by myself, accused of what I did not do." Yet God smiled at Joseph, because even though he was rejected by his brothers, sold into slavery, and then cast into prison, he kept the right attitude and he kept a trust in God. All during this time, ministering to those that were around him, even though he was hurting, he was ministering to people who were hurting around him. Would those people have been comforted or ministered to if Joseph had not been in quarantine? A lot of people perhaps thought that Joseph had died. They hadn't heard anything from him, and maybe some might have thought that this church would not survive this quarantine. I wonder, will people actually come back to church because we haven't had church for such a long time? Mark Twain once said, "The report of my death was greatly exaggerated." The report that the church won't do well has been greatly exaggerated. No, you can't put God's church down, folks. Hallelujah. We're going to get up. I believe that we have been stronger because of our confinement and having to fend for ourselves through the word of God in our own prayer life, our own altars, you see. See, Paul didn't understand why so many people that he prayed for were healed, but then God chose not to heal him. I don't understand it. I'm living for God. I'm doing everything I possibly can, and yet, God, I asked you 3 times. You even took me up to the third heaven, and I saw things that no man has ever seen, and yet I still have to deal with this. And then God told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul replies, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 12, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, the church has become stronger in this confinement, in these restrictions. Is this God's way of strengthening us? We have taken for granted the joy and the blessings that we've experienced here this morning. For week after week, year after year, we come, we dance before the Lord, we worship God, we're feeling the Shekinah glory of God's hand upon us, and then all of a sudden, it is taken away from us, and now we realize, perhaps more than ever before, what we had, you see. Hallelujah. There is something in the human nature that causes us to want what we can't have, or what was taken away from us. Have you longed to come back to church as I have? Have you counted the days? Have you prayed? Have you asked God, open the doors again, longing to see the faces of church family again? It seems like everyone wants to try and figure out why this virus has ravaged the world. Why has it come now? Do we still believe in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose. It's in his hands. The amazing thing about Joseph is that he didn't understand God's purpose for his confinement, and yet he was faithful, yet he trusted, yet he did whatever he could in the situation that he found himself in, and that there would be an incredible promotion at the end of his quarantine. He didn't know that. But I can tell you assuredly that at the end of this quarantine, there is an incredible promotion that the church gets. Because you're sitting here this morning, you have access to a promotion that you would not have had had you not been confined and quarantined. Church, there is a shadow and type for us here. When was the moment that Joseph realized what God was really doing in his life? How many days did he talk to God in his cell? How many times did he question God? Why am I going through this? You gave me a dream. You gave me a promise. It has not been fulfilled yet. How long is it going to be before we end this quarantine? I don't believe it was when he was released from prison. I don't believe he still understood. I don't believe it was when he was made prime minister of Egypt, second in command to the most powerful nation, authority like he never thought he could, from a prisoner to the prime minister. I believe it was when his brothers fell down before him and asked for forgiveness. It was then that God opened his understanding. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to save much people. Could it be that is the divine purpose of this whole season that we were going through in order to save much people? God, I don't understand. It has completely altered my life. It has completely altered my finances. I have not been able to fellowship with people that I love. Even family split apart. But could it be for the very reason that people are going to be saved through this? In Joshua 3 and 4, it says this, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. We have never gone this direction before. We have never experienced anything like this. It's over 100 years since we've had some kind of pandemic, and the whole world is turned upside down. There are other similarities to what Joseph experienced and what we're going through as well. While in prison, he became an interpreter of dreams. God gave him dreams while he was confined. Some of you have had dreams while you were confined. I believe God has given us a vision of what he is about to do. And maybe it is that we're going to have 7 years of great revival in this church. A time where people just walk in here. They don't even know why they're here. Nobody's even invited them. But God said, listen, I'm going to prosper for 7 years. You're not going to understand it. In the middle of a drought. Later, Joseph was put in a position of literally counseling to the Pharaoh. He took advice from Joseph. And I believe God is opening doors to witness to people in this world that are looking for answers that they're not getting any other place. And Joseph, because of his dreams, was able to prepare so that he could feed the hungry of that world. And I believe that God wants us to feed the spiritually hungry of our world. They're looking to us. You're going to church? Well, I went to the grocery store a few times. I went to the gas station a few times. Why is it so frightening to go to church when we can stand in line for groceries? And don't tell anybody, but I live with my barber. Amen. So that wasn't a problem. What has taught us during this thing is that we need to take this message outside these walls, because over the years you've staked out your pew. You've been comfortable. You know, at 25 after 10, the song service ends and somebody's going to do a little special. And then, you know, the old guy's going to preach a little bit. Then he's going to make an altar call and then off to a restaurant. Probably isn't going to happen today. But we need to enter into the mission field, which is right here on Airline Road. Biblical history tells us that when God told people to go and spread the word, they sometimes got comfortable in one place and decided, no, I'm saved. I got what I need. So then God had to intervene and cause them to scatter or go into the rest of the world. Maybe that is why God has purposed this thing. So we aren't comfortable anymore just sitting in a pew. We know how to pray at home now. We know how to contact other people. We know how to distribute the word of God through the media. Right after the flood, the people were told to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. It was a command of God. He told Noah, listen, the whole world is destroyed. Now it is your responsibility to go and replenish the earth. But instead, after years, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, according to Genesis 11 and 2. Got comfortable. I like it here. Nice pews, nice carpeting, air conditioning. So God confounded their language and forced them to scatter abroad over the face of the earth. Genesis 11 and 19. God did it. Amen. You're too comfortable. Frankly, after the last 9 weeks, I have not been comfortable at all. The church is mandated by God to do exactly the same. If we won't do what God has purposed for us, well, God knows how to move us to reach the world. I believe this is a great awakening for the church. God is setting the stage for a great revival because of what we have gone through, and we have reached a place where the promise of God are set before us because we have patiently endured. I believe we're at the threshold of greatness. I believe some things that you have been longing for literally years, are right in front of us if we'll take further steps. I believe that there are relatives and family. I believe there are co-workers. I believe there are many people who God has just set the stage for us to see them get saved. So if you'll turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse number 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See, God's in the multiplication business. And when we demonstrate to God how we have endured things that we normally would not want to endure, God's saying, okay, now you will obtain the promise. Maybe it's something that we have been praying for literally years and years, and now we've come to the threshold where we have demonstrated to God, I'm going to be faithful, and now God's saying, all right, now you can have the promise. The promises are ours because we have remained faithful during this time of anxiety in our life. It's shaken everything that we know to be normal. If we're waiting for science to bail us out, or even the government to send us money, we're looking for the wrong places. That's not demonstrating our faith. I believe in science. I believe in medicine. I believe that it's a wonderful thing to get a check in the mail. But all gifts, all good gifts, come from above. And if we get a vaccine, if we get a cure, it's because of God. If you get money somehow that you didn't expect, it's because of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I believe it. God's never let me down. He's going to take care of me. If some of you are wondering what's going to happen next week, I don't have enough money. Believe that those things that you have committed, God's going to keep. No one will lose out because we remain faithful during this day. It won't be because of our intellect. It won't be because of our strength or our cautious planning that we will come through this. It'll be because of God. And Nebuchadnezzar stood in front of the people and said, look what I have done. And for the next 7 years, he was eating grass and pulling feathers out of his legs. It's God. It's God. It's only God. Only God could do this. Only God could bring a people together. If you'll turn to Psalms 33. Psalms chapter 33, starting in verse number 16. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Now, wait a minute. If the king's got a great big army, If a guy's got big biceps, And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according to as we hope in thee. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. It's a lot of things you can trust in, but God is the one who delivers. Now, I was encouraged by what the president said Friday. He said this, that while liquor stores and abortion clinics are open, churches were not deemed essential. And I declare the church to be even more essential to our country. We need more prayer. End of quote. That gets me excited. When the leader of a free nation says, we need to have church, we need to have prayer, God's looking down and smiling on the United States of America. Hallelujah. And I'm not embarrassed to say it. God will bless our nation if we pray. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us folks, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I'm going to heal their land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's get the best scientists and best medical people so we can get, no, let's get the best Christians that we know. Let's get some prayer warriors because we need our land healed. God gives us the solution. He gives us a solution. If my people will pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to make something very clear. This is not a judgment from God on the church. It's not like we have done something wrong and God is chastising us, but I believe it's a divine wake-up call. Time is short. If we're going to do something for God, we ought to do it right now. It's summertime. 1994, I remember going to a church up north, and they had lights like this that we were thinking about putting in our church. And I asked the pastor, I said, so what's your service schedule? Well, we just have a short Sunday morning service because everybody has cottages and boats, and we don't have choir anymore or Sunday school. We just don't do that until we get back together in fall. No, this is the time that we need to pull out all of the stops and live for God like we have never lived before. Amen. Hallelujah. A clear sound of what our responsibility is to those that are around us. Amen. Thank God we haven't had anyone that I know of in the church who's been affected by this thing, although there have been some who have been saved, not in our church. But I thank God that he has protected us. So this morning, I want to declare victory in this church. Hallelujah. More messages have left this building and found their way into houses of people who have never, ever entered into a Pentecostal church before. I've had, I don't know how many people call me and say, wow, what an incredible message. Somebody just emailed my wife just this week from Southern California who saw the message and went on and on and on. Are you going to do a Father's Day message as well? Glory to God. They don't know. They have never experienced it. We've recorded song service. Thank you, Brother Monday, and our praise singers have. And it's gone out to more people who have never experienced Pentecostal singing and the presence of God. That I've sat in my living room and listened to song services and had tears streaming down my face, feeling the power of God that transferred through the internet. We now have an explosive Exploring God's Word Bible study on YouTube, thanks to Brother Bear and Brother Bear. Hallelujah. Now, if we have relatives that need a Bible study, we could just take them to YouTube and say, here it is. But we wouldn't have done that except for this quarantine. More people are praying on their own now. We've had 24-hour prayer chains and fasting going on like never before. We're experiencing the rewards like Joseph experienced. Many people are now searching out their own Bible studies because nobody's cooking for them. And they're enriched by things within the Word of God that God has revealed to them, not just the pastors, not just the evangelist, but God has opened their understanding to those things that they dug out for themselves. We have victory because our God is victorious. 1 John 5 and 4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We've overcome because of our great belief and trust in our God. Hallelujah. It's not because of our muscles. It's not because of the army. It's not because of the horse in your backyard. It's not because you have more money in the bank. It's because we have relied on our God to be the. Listen, this thing, this invisible enemy, can only go so far because we've got the protection of our God before us. And Jesus said this. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Tonight, I'm going to speak a little bit about that. I've spoken these things unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In church, we can overcome anything. We can overcome anything because we've got a God that is going to be with us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I can declare victory. I can rejoice. I can be assured. I can be refreshed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to be like the 650 who just complained about the circumstances that they were under. Excuse me. I'll be in my house, and I'm going to be encouraging myself in the Lord. But you don't have song service. Everybody else is not worship. Doesn't matter. I'm going to go, and I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And then God said, pursue, overtake, recover all. If you've lost anything, God's saying, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I don't look at church as a little fix I get. I believe it's a lifestyle. I've known people who have gone on diets and they've been successful, but they didn't hold on to the lifestyle. If you want to be a successful Christian, this has got to be more than just a Sunday morning fix. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to extend beyond these walls to your home. It has to be in a place where you can feed yourself. Glory to God. But I am so glad that we can come together. I am so glad we can encourage one another. We can have the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church, and God will speak to us through those gifts. Amen. It is now my privilege to open this altar, or wherever you want to be, to spend some time with our Lord. Amen.